Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening, being with us as the week winds down. And I'm Billy Embody, with me, Shay Dixon, to break down a few topics kind of around all the different things we can talk about in college football and also college basketball, as LSU got plenty of good news to kick off the week. The top 25 poll came out, and one of LSU's transfer portal participants, I guess you could say, has found a new home. So let's jump right in, though, Shay, with the biggest news, I think, of the week. Ja'Marr Chase, his dad, Jimmy Chase, friend of the show, has opted in for the 2020 season. It's a little wild that we're talking about that still, but it's been a big topic around college football as players have been making their own decisions as to whether they should be playing this season. Ja'Marr, a top 10 type of pick in the 2021 NFL draft. He's opting to play with the Tigers and, you know, come back and lead this team again.
Yeah, I mean, his dad said that he was fully focused on being with the team, on playing this season. And really, look, we've heard so much conversation about guys sitting out. The reality is we're talking about upper level guys like the Ja'Marr Chases of the world. Now, Ja'Marr saying he's going to play. There's only been three guys that have said, I'm not playing, who are high NFL draft pick type guys. Caleb Farley is the corner at Virginia Tech. He was the first guy, and that kind of got things rolling. And then the two big names this week were Micah Parsons at Penn State, obviously. He's one of their best players. He's a linebacker. He's one of the top linebackers in the draft. When 24/7 did our top 50 players of the year, he was number six. So that's the biggest domino. And Rashad Bateman at Minnesota being the other. If you don't know who Rashad Bateman is, he's going to be a guy who ends up getting drafted probably in the first round. And beyond Chase and the obvious Bama receivers, he'll be up there as one of the first guys taken, not from those teams. I think that when you look at Parsons and you look at Bateman, those are big decisions, no doubt. And you can even throw Caleb Farley into that. But we still haven't had anyone from the SEC say they're sitting. We still haven't had certainly anyone from LSU's team. And I'm curious, the NFL's deadline to opt out is today, and we're recording this on a Thursday. So today at 3, we still haven't had any LSU players opt out of the NFL season, and certainly no like massive dominoes there. So I wonder if it gets into even the double digits, which is where all this came from. When Alex Scarborough at ESPN reported that agents had told him there were double digit guys who were first round type picks that were thinking of sitting out. So far, we're at 2 or 3. We're already into the month of August. I'm just not so sure I'm buying into some widespread thing of everybody sitting, at least where things stand now.
Yeah, it seems like LSU, for the most part, is going to be safe for this. I mean, who knows? Players could get in there in fall camp when that starts in a couple weeks and make a different decision and opt out. But I think right now, LSU is safe. I think for Ja'Marr, he's just so competitive, and that's what it came down to for him, I would think, is him wanting to continue to show why he's the best receiver in college football. He won the Biletnikoff Award last year. He set so many records and just was a huge, huge part of the offense. With Miles Brennan taking over, having Ja'Marr Chase is a huge, huge deal for not only Miles Brennan, but for LSU in general. It'll help Terrace Marshall. It'll help Eric Gilbert. It'll help the run game. It'll help the offensive line. It's a trickle-down effect because you have somebody that demands double coverage And even then, it's a struggle for teams to defend Jamar. And I think his motivation and will to get better and want to get better just kind of sits behind this. And he wants to do it again. He wants to be a two-time Biletnikoff Award winner, and he's never satisfied. And I think that's part of the reason why he opted into the season. And, you know, it's a weird conversation to have, but gosh, I mean, the impact Jamar is going to have this season is just going to be huge for LSU. And he's a part of the reason why LSU is in the top five of the coaches poll.
Yeah. And look, if there's any, like, this would be Parsons' mentality, is he's thought of as the second best player defensively in the upcoming draft. And if that's where your mind's at, if it's okay, I'm not sure how the season's going to go. But I don't want to derail my hopes of being a top 15 pick. And a guy like Parsons, you would say, okay, he could do that. He could sit. There have been rumors that Penei Sewell at Oregon, who's the number one offensive tackle, expected to be a top 10 pick, is entertaining, at least, the idea of playing or sitting. So you understood it with Jamar if he sat, right? Like everyone, you said it. He won the Biletnikoff. He was the most productive receiver in the country, really, alongside Justin Jefferson a year ago. And he's thought to be the best receiver in college football this year. So, and that wasn't going to change if he sat out. But as you said, it's the competitive nature of him. I couldn't have ever seen him sit out. And honestly, I don't see any of LSU's guys sitting out, in large part, if we're talking about your go-to guys, Billy. I think, A, they want to play. I think that, B, guys beyond Jamar are going to want to up their stock. This is, and that's one thing I don't think people are talking about, and because it's the obvious, it's what normally happens, is some of these guys want to play, A, to play. They want to get back to playing football. But, B, they can up their stock. Only about 10, 15 guys, you would say, could sit out and nothing will really change for them. Jamar would have been one of them. For instance, Jacoby Stevens. He can work his way into a first-round pick. Not if he sits now, he's going to be one no matter what. It just doesn't work that way for me. So I think guys are going to be encouraging themselves. I'm not encouraged, but guys are not going to have much second thought if they want to be a first- or second-round pick to just play.
Yeah, and I think it's also a credit to the culture Ed Ogeron's built. To have these guys locked in on playing and to have them locked in on defending this national championship. And I mean, you look at the top five of the coaches poll that was released on Thursday, as we're just before we were recording this, it's Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and then LSU. And Georgia, you know, they've made it to the SEC championship game. They had a national championship game appearance, of course, against Alabama, but LSU's beaten them twice now in the last 2 years. And I was a little surprised that LSU was behind Georgia. I mean, I shouldn't say surprised. I think sometimes LSU gets slept on a little bit more than you know, kind of it deserves. I still think LSU is a better football team than Georgia. But that top five is fine with me outside of LSU being behind Georgia, I would say. Maybe there's an argument for LSU to be ahead of Alabama as well, but you know, LSU just lost a lot of, you know, obviously to the NFL draft and graduation, but it's that top five outside of the Georgia LSU thing was really my one that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah. And I thought that Georgia, I'm with you. I would have LSU above Georgia because they're also giving Georgia this credit of, okay, well, Georgia lost Jake Fromm. Well, they've got JT Daniels and Jamie Newman coming in and they've played some college football before. So I get it. Maybe you give them an edge there over Miles Brennan in terms of how ready they are this year. But then the other confidence is, well, they're going to turn things around because they've got Todd Monken now. So certainly we really believe in Georgia's offensive philosophy. If Kirby Smart's going to turn over the reins and not run, you know, this pro-style, run-heavy attack, not taking many risks in the passing game, which is what they did with Fromm and all the great running backs they've had. But LSU's already there. That's what you wondered with LSU, and they did it. And now they've got Brennan and a new offense. And, yeah, they lost 14 starters, but they recruit as well as Georgia does. I mean, they're replacing guys all across the field with other talented players and certainly bringing back guys like Chase and Stingley, who, in my opinion, are better than anybody that's on Georgia's roster. So I don't get that for sure. And, look, the voting wasn't that far off. But I did find it interesting that LSU got more first-place votes than Bama did. And when you look at the rundown, Clemson took 38 of the first place votes, Ohio State 17, LSU 6, Bama 4. It's been a long time. I bet well over a decade that LSU had more first place votes than Alabama in a preseason coaches poll. I can't remember what 2012 looked like, but I doubt LSU would have been ranked ahead of them after losing. So thought that was interesting, because I think that even with Tua gone, people look at Alabama as, well, they didn't lose as much as LSU, so certainly they'll be better. But at least it seems with the how the coaches are looking at it right now, there's a small gap, but a couple of them feel like LSU's in a better spot than Bama is.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense too. I mean, Alabama's replacing Tua Tagovailoa, and yeah, there's some confidence on Mac Jones. Another thing on the Georgia front, Jamie Newman was picked as, like, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC and all of this. And then JT Daniels gets eligible, and now it's a quarterback competition? I just don't understand. I mean, I think they're talented, but whenever that's the case, whenever JT Daniels gets getting eligible now creates a quarterback competition in Georgia, that just tells me that Jamie Newman, you know, at least preseason-wise, might not be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC like he's thought of. I think that's a little bit of a double standard there. Like, he's either one of the best quarterbacks of the SEC or he's not. And either Georgia now has two of the best quarterbacks in the SEC or, you know, there's a quarterback competition. They've got to figure out what they're going to do. I just think that one was really interesting, especially when Miles Brennan is a redshirt junior. He's been around. He completed 60% of his passes with the backups last year. He got time in the college football playoff game against Oklahoma. I mean, this is now a veteran that, and by all accounts, you know, the players and Miles is interviewed and Ed Ogeron talks about him. He's ready for this.
100%. I absolutely 100% think he's ready for this. I think that he's locked in. We've seen how much he's transformed his body and mentally. He gets talked up a ton for the progress he's made. He seems to be in a leadership role, and he's got guys around him. Ja'Marr Chase can be a leader. Terrace Marshall can be a leader. You've got guys like Austin Deculus on the offensive line that can be leaders for you. Certainly bringing back Ty Davis Price and Chris Curry and John Emery, guys like that are in their second year in the program. They've been relied on. They've played in big spots. So I think that'll be key for them. I think this offensive line will be something to watch of what the eventual starting group looks like, how much depth they have. But I feel like I'd pick LSU's offense over Georgia's right now in a heartbeat. And I know that LSU's got a better corner in Stingley, and they've got some really good players now on the D-line. Their D-line this year is going to be better than it was a year ago. So in some ways, I think LSU is being slept on in that sense. But I also understand that when you set an NFL draft record for 14 guys drafted, you lose 20 total, you're going to end up losing, you know, there's going to be some prove it to me kind of time frame that LSU's got to step up and answer the call there, but they've done it before. And look, a year ago, nobody said LSU was the number one team. In fact, they had them about in this spot, five or six before the 2019 season. So I'm interested to see, once the schedule's set, how they get out of the gate in SEC play, because I think they're going to catch some people off guard. And I know we're on an LSU podcast, so LSU fans probably feel the same. But after a year ago, I don't think the offense is going anywhere. It's just going to be a matter of continuing to execute and get better without Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and a handful of those offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And Clyde.
Yes, of course, and Clyde. And we'll see, I think, how the schedule, whenever that comes out, should be soon, but might even be out by the time this podcast drops. But anyway, I think, look, there's going to be no tune-up game, really, for this team. You know, they would have had UTSA to open the season with and get their feet wet before Texas, and then they're just going to jump into SEC play. And while I would think, and this is just kind of a speculation, that I would think Ole Miss would remain the season opener. I mean, it's already there. It's scheduled. It's an SEC West game, so it'll be on the schedule. I would think, just speculating, that that's the opener, and that's not a bad season opener for LSU to get its feet wet, and then they're into the whatever the schedule ends up being. And I think in an SEC only schedule for many of these teams, I think it's going to be harder to go undefeated than any other year. I mean, you don't have a tune-up game, and you don't have some of these out-of-conference FCS games that we've seen. And so I think you're going to see a little bit more competitiveness in the SEC in terms of the potential for maybe a surprise team to end up in Atlanta. But I'm with you. I think the you know, sleeping on LSU is after the NFL draft and breaking in a new quarterback and everything makes a ton of sense. But it's also the same thing Georgia and Alabama are doing. ahead of LSU in the coaches poll. Now, a lot of quarterback talk there. Peter Parrish, former LSU quarterback who was removed from the roster earlier this summer, entered the transfer portal recently, is headed off to Memphis, a team with a high-powered offense. They have Brady White, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the country, most productive quarterbacks in the country for sure. And he's going to take his stab at eventually trying to win that starting job when Brady White leaves after this year. And look, he lands in a good spot in a proven, offensive system. And best of luck to him, Shay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with him and Keelon Brown, Keelon Brown being a Zachary, so Baton Rouge area kid who signed with Memphis at quarterback, and now Peter Parrish being an LSU kid who spent a year here and signed to play quarterback at Memphis, or at least committed. So I guess he'll be enrolling there and signing soon. But interested to see with Ryan Silverfield's program if either of those guys are able to make some headway in the coming years. Obviously, Brady White's a pretty good player, and they've had some good quarterbacks come through there. But for LSU fans, you've known this. He was off the team in March. He never came back to the team. He wasn't at spring ball. He wasn't around this summer. Coach O's always talked about Brennan being the starter, the two freshmen, Max Johnson and TJ Finley, being the backups. And as fall camp plays out, it'll begin August 17th, I think it is, Billy, and then first game September 26th. We don't know who the first game is. Like you said, it'll remain Ole Miss, which would be a home game. But across that, 6 weeks, I think one thing that I'll be eager to see is which one of those guys wins the backup job between Finley and Max Johnson. So be tuned in for that. We'll break that down plenty at the end of this month or middle of this month and into September. But it will be something to monitor because you're a hit or an ankle twist or a helmet popped off away from one of those guys going into the game.
Yeah, and Shay, you make a great point there about quarterback battle, position battles. And the thing right now, which we don't know, is will media be allowed in? What will we get to find out? And this is the perfect time to jump on Go 24/7 with a subscription. And if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, maybe you haven't tried Go247.com, go check us out because we've got 50% off annual subscriptions, carries you all the way through next year into hopefully a on-time start to fall camp in the first week of August next year. But for now, we're going to be able to drop a ton of VIP tidbits. That's a big plus with our message board and everything like that. So all month long, you can take 50% off annual subscriptions. Shay, we've seen a bunch of people jump on board. And it's been a lot of fun to see new faces on the message board and get to interact during this time when we're all kind of chilling at home and just kind of watching sports as they're all in the bubble with the NBA and NHL and MLB. And soon enough, football will be back.
Yeah, it's actually... See, we've gotten to know a lot of the board members a lot better than we ever imagined we would with no sports and nothing to talk about. And I think anybody listening who's on the Go 24/7 on the Death Valley board would agree. We need sports because we are tired of the back and forth with the normal crew. We've got the morning crew, the night crew, the old timers. I think everybody can agree that, boy, we need sports back because we've gone a little off topic for a little too long, and thank God that now we're into the month of August, and football, NFL and NCAA is inching closer, Billy.
No doubt about that. And also looking way down the line, we've got college basketball ahead, and LSU got a ton of good news earlier this week with the return of some key Tigers to Will Wade's basketball team. We're going to break down that on the other side of this break from the Go 24/7 podcast. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. If you leave us a review, include a question. We might just answer it on the pod as we are always looking for things right now until the season starts to chat it up about. But Shay, Will Wade got great news on Monday. And like he said, maybe in a different time, different year, sans COVID, all three of these guys don't return, but instead he gets Javonte Smart, Darius Days, and Trendon Watford all back for this Tigers basketball team, a team that should be in the top 25 and should be really one of the best teams in the conference and have a chance to get back to the NCAA tournament once again.
Yeah, and look, everybody knows that you're the resident basketball expert, cover all the recruiting stuff for us. You've had a good feel for the program over recent years, and we've actually got a really good, LSU's getting a good basketball following now that Wade's been winning in recent years. But the board loves chatting about basketball, so we'll flip the script here. I'll take the mic. When you heard, Wade, you thought, and you had said all along, Days will come back. We'll see what happens with Javonte, but pre-COVID, pre-workouts, Trendon seemed a one-and-done player. Fast forward to now, what was the initial reaction? Maybe more importantly, like how much, on a scale of 1 to 10, what was this team without those three guys, and what is this team now with them? Like, how much better did they just get?
I think they got a ton better, especially in the backcourt, and I think skill-wise, because you add Javonte Smart back, he had the best assist-to-turnover ratio in the SEC. He really emerged as one of the best point guards in the SEC, and that was just in year one, taking over for Tremont Waters. And then you add back Trendon Watford, who's got so much offensive skill, and Darius Days, who's incredibly efficient when he's on the court. They just got a ton better. And then experienced basketball teams, just they tend to do a lot better than people give them credit for. There's a ton of like one and done talk and you know, super teams and things like that. But when you've got the combination of depth and experience like they have, and then coupled with some of the incoming guys like Cam Thomas, who's just incredible. He's going to be one of the best scorers in the country. You add in Josh LeBlanc, who they hope to have eligible right away, Brian Penn Johnson and Josh Gray, 2 7-footers. This team has a ton of different pieces now. So beforehand, if Trendon Watford would have departed, I think they could have figured it out a little bit better just with LeBlanc and Sharif O'Neal and Mawani Wilkinson and the 2 7-footers. But now that they have him back, I mean, they're just that much more talented. I mean, Trendon Watford was an all-SEC freshman and now looks ready to take the next step. His brother played in the pros. He knows what this year coming up for him could mean, getting into the first round of the NBA draft potentially. So they went from probably just outside the top 25 and will have had to kind of prove it and show why they should be in the NCAA tournament again, to having all the benefit of the doubt. And all they really lost was Emmett Williams and a couple of reserve guys. So they're going to be ready to go, I think, for this season. And last year, with the pieces they had and really the limited depth they had, you probably would have thought that team would have been kind of middle of the pack SEC, but they really put it together in SEC play and ended up in the top four. And I see them being a top two, three, potentially, you know, not a dark horse when you're that high, but could potentially win the SEC title again.
When you look at, this is a question a lot of people on the board immediately ask, because you're bringing in a number six recruiting class, you're losing essentially Emmett Williams and Skylar Mays. And you look at the starting lineup last year, Billy, and the guys who started, you know, the bulk of the games were Trendon, Skylar, Emmett, Javonte, and Darius. Now, you're only losing Skylar and Emmett from that group. Is the new starting five as easy as who subs into those two spots? Who are the new Skylar and Emmett?
I think at one spot it's pretty easy, and that's Cam Thomas going in there in the backcourt. I mean, he's somebody that can really go. I got a chance to watch him multiple times over the last few years, and even as a young player, you know, coming off of his freshman year, going into sophomore year, I got a chance to watch him, and he was just incredible. And you knew that he was going to be one of the best players in the country. And sure enough, I mean, fast forward, I remember interviewing him, and he was, you know, saying how much Will Wade was talking to him and his mom. And I was like, you know, maybe they can end up getting him out of Virginia. And sure enough, they did. And it's a big, big boost for LSU losing Skylar to replace him with Cam Thomas, who's a little bit more explosive. He's a true freshman, but he's a potential first-round draft pick. He's a five-star for a reason. And then in the front court, it'll be interesting to see what happens, okay? Because you have the 2 7-footers and Brian Penn Johnson, who Will Wade is confident will get eligible right away, transferred from Washington, and they're really high on him. And then Josh Gray, who's a true freshman, and he needs to kind of refine some portions of his game, but he's got that size. And then you've got Trendon Watford back, and you've got Darius Days back. Where does it all fit in? Because Will Wade does want to have a rim protector out there like they had back when they had Cavell Bigby-Williams and, to an extent, Naz Reid. So are they going to stick Brian Penn Johnson out there from the get-go if they get him eligible? Or is it Trendon Watford and Darius Days and they have Charles Manning and maybe Josh LeBlanc if he's eligible, or Sharif O'Neal playing the three, or Mawani Wilkinson if he can put on some weight? So the front court is kind of the one where I'll have to watch, and I think we'll all kind of have to watch how much different Will Wade wants to change his system defensively, because that's something he's doing. That's why they brought in the 2 7-footers mainly. But they have a lot of size. They have a lot of versatility. They can go with a bunch of different lineups. But I think the two that are locked in are Javonte Smart and Cam Thomas and Trendon Watford.
You touched on this obviously just now a bit, but the rim protector thing, like that was like the Musa Cisse storyline of the offseason. Is that a worry anymore? Do you have enough other players like it was a year ago where you said, well, we can figure it out. You know, this isn't some major loss for us, because last year, obviously you get back Watford, who is a rebounding machine, whether it's offenses or defense. But Emmett, he probably was up there in rebounds last year. He certainly led the team in blocks. Who are the rim protectors? Are rim protectors Watford, and what are they getting out of one of their newest additions, who Wade seemed confident, you've said it many times, is going to be eligible, and Brian Penn Johnson?
Yeah, for Brian Penn Johnson, he's similar to Cavell Bigby-Williams in the way that he didn't play that much at his previous stop, but his per 40-minute numbers were very strong. He wasn't a walking double-double like Cavell Bigby-Williams was coming over from Oregon, but he was a 12, I think his per 40 are 12-8. So you're looking at 12 points and 8 rebounds. That's pretty solid, especially for how limited he played. I think he battled some injuries. So you've got these rim protectors in Brian Penn Johnson and Josh Gray, who's super athletic, really long, kind of looks like Cavell in terms of his body and just kind of what he brings to the table. Those two are your rim protectors. And then you've got guys with length and athleticism that can rebound the basketball in Trendon Watford. And don't sleep on this name. He's not a rim protector, but he's going to be right up there in terms of rebounding whenever he does get eligible, is Josh LeBlanc. He would have been a difference maker for this team this past year. He could play the three, he could play the four. He can rebound. He's one of the best defenders on the team right from the jump. I think he actually made LSU a lot better when they entered SEC play when he came over and transferred back from Georgetown, because he was that aggressive in practice and in scout teams and helping this team get better. So those are your guys to watch in terms of rebounding. But the 2 7-footers in Brian Penn Johnson and Josh Gray, those are the ones that are going to have the chance to really affect shots and help protect that rim for Will Wade.
When you look at last year's team, you had what? Every starter was a double-digit scorer. I mean, even Days was into double digits. Is that can that happen again? And I would expect it too if a guy like Cam Thomas, we've heard so much right out of the gates about him. If he's a natural scorer, doesn't have to be Skylar out of the gates, but that then out of that spot where you're replacing Emmett, that you're going to get a double-digit scorer. Like, is this a team that's going to put 5-6 out there that can go for double digits every night?
I would err on saying yes, and here's why. One, ever since Will Wade's been in Baton Rouge, offense has been the main thing that has allowed this team to go. And while their three-point shooting hasn't been tremendous, their efficiency and their ability to put the ball in the basket, which is the name of the game, has been great. And they've really done a good job. And I think, yeah, you could see five guys in double digits again. I think they'll have a little bit more depth, and they might be able to take some minutes off of guys and help them, you know, hold up a little bit better over the course of the season. So maybe it might be off a little bit in that regard. But again, the offensive scheme, what Will Wade puts together in that regard, has been strong in Baton Rouge. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So I'll go yes. I think they could have 5 double-digit scores.
You know who my favorite player on last year's team was? It was Charles Manning. I felt like there were times when they didn't play well in games, or they looked lackadaisical, or defensively they weren't showing much effort. He seemed to be the one guy that came off the bench and really had a fire underneath him. I'm interested to see what he does. We're wrapping up here, so you can keep it brief. But Charles Manning and Andre Hyatt, what do they bring to the team? Because the other guys who were contributing last year are now gone. Those guys are back, but they're kind of, at least in the conversational afterthought of getting excited about the big three returning, getting excited about a number 6 class. But what does a Hyatt and Charles Manning do for a team when both those guys were, you know, they were playing double digit minutes a year ago? Certainly Charles Manning was at 20 minutes a game.
Yeah. I think Charles Manning, and I do this too, I kind of underrate him in terms of how much we talk about him and need to talk about him, because he's one of the best defenders on the team. And like you said, when he was out there, especially that, I remember that game against South Carolina when he came back, I believe off of injury, and he made such a huge difference on the road at USC. And that was like, you knew, I think if LSU would have had Charles Manning and Marlon Taylor healthy all year last year, they would have probably finished a little bit better than the SEC, but they just would have been so much better defensively. I mean, those are two uber athletic guys that are competitive. They're defense first. But this year they've got Charles Manning back. He's got a chance to start too, again, kind of depending on that lineup versatility that they've got. But he'll bring a big defensive edge. I think Andre Hyatt flashed a few times last year. He had some good games. We'll see kind of what his role is going forward. But, I mean, I think he's somebody they're comfortable having out there. And he's got some limitations, I think, athletically. He's had those knee issues. But he just continues to improve. And he's a good, high-quality basketball IQ guy. And we'll kind of see again what he brings to the table. He had some really nice outings, you know, shooting the ball once he got his feet wet. He struggled really early on, but improved throughout the year, and I think that's something to hang his hat on. So both figure to be rotational guys. Charles Manning could be, you know, could very well be their best defender, and then Andre Hyatt can provide some minutes off the bench.
All right, well, look, we're wrapping up on this edition of the pod. I'll ask you this on the way out. You already said it, this of kind of the trajectory of maybe winning the SEC, which you saw him do 2 years ago, but certainly being a firm top 25 team, maybe better. What is the outlook on, let's just say immediate, because people quantify it in terms of like how far can you go? And 2 years ago, people said this is a team that can make a run in the tournament. They went to the Sweet 16. They get bounced by Michigan State, who was red hot that day, and were a better team. But LSU was clearly one of the 15, 16 best teams in the country. You look at a year ago, they were going to make the big dance again. They had had guys coming back from the team that had gone to the NCAA tournament. So it wouldn't have been a surprise to see them win 2 games and get back to the Sweet 16. am I wrong in saying, and I don't, this is a I'm not doing a disservice at all, I hope, to Skyler and to Tremont and to guys who are very big pieces, to why they got to, you know, we're making deep runs and we're on really talented teams that were highly thought of when it came to the big dance. But I'm looking up and down this lineup. This is the most talented roster Will Wade's had, in my opinion, and why you would have to think that the sights are, or at least the bar is set on Sweet 16 and the expectation that you could probably do better than that.
Yeah, and I think LSU, the difference between the team that went to the Sweet 16 and this year's team is this year's team is kind of slept on in a weird way. And you rewind it back, that was year two of Will Wade. He had a huge recruiting class, Nas and Emmett, and Tremont, and all those guys, and Javonte and Darius. And that kind of carried the hype. This year, I think top to bottom, this is his most talented roster. I totally agree with you. Will Wade also has basically said that as well. I do think they can make a deep run again. I think it's going to depend on how much they improve defensively. I do think that they are being slept on, by many. I mean, they're not in some people's top 25s, which I don't understand that. I think when you finish in the top 3-4 last year in the SEC and you bring basically everyone back and then add in some scoring punch and some key transfers, you're a better basketball team. So, yeah, I think they got a chance to make a run in the NCAA tournament again. And I think they've got the depth to do it. They've got the pieces to do it. They've got the versatility to do it. It's all about coming together and figuring this out, getting good chemistry and piecing it all together. But Will Wade, I think, learned a lot from year two with some of those different personalities and guys on that roster. And who knows, maybe he'll be improved in that respect heading into this year.
I'm interested to see. We'll see if they end up pushing back the start or how the schedule plays out here in November and into December. But let's keep our fingers crossed, because as bummed out as everyone was, Billy, a year ago, to play a whole season and not get to watch the SEC tournament, let alone the big dance, people would be even more bummed if they have to get delayed watching this LSU basketball team. Because I think people, if we can judge the excitement of the past few days and know that, yes, people are just excited about sports being somewhat back, or at least news on sports, I can't remember a time where LSU basketball fans seemed this excited, or at least this confident that, well, we've got a coach, we've got a bunch of good players, we've got a top recruiting class, we've got everyone coming back. We've got a track record recently of making the big dance, which has not always been a given here. You can feel it. You can feel that the confidence we're talking about right now in the team, that fans share it, that they think this is a team that can really make some noise.
Absolutely. They're a proven commodity at this point, and they'll be one of the best teams in the SEC. So with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the pod. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope it kicks off your weekend well. And I hope everyone stays safe out there. Shea D, have a great weekend. For everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time on the Go 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.